When the crash occurs, there will not be any new bailouts. You know, the QE1, the QE2, the QE3, we won't see anything like that. Because when the crash occurs, they're going to take us from the old system into the new world order system. The whole world will be going into this new system. Further, they want to destroy the United States Constitution because they want to bring in a world constitution into all nations. So how are you going to pray about those things? They want to destroy our government because they want our government turned over to a world government. They want to destroy our courts because they want to turn our courts, our judicial system, over to a world judicial system. They want to destroy our economy because they want us to be brought into the world economic system. What does it sound like they're doing? One world government. Now, as we are standing at the cliff, looking at their plans to destroy this nation, I want you to know God has another plan. He has another purpose. Let me read a scripture to you. Let's look at, I think it's in Jeremiah 18. Jeremiah 18, verse 7. At one time I will suddenly speak concerning a nation or kingdom that I will pluck up and break down and destroy it. And if the people of that nation concerning which I have spoken turn from their evil, I will relent and reverse my decision concerning the evil that I thought to do to them. At another time I will suddenly speak concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will build up and plant it. And if they do evil in my sight, obeying not my voice, then I will regret and reverse my decision concerning the good with which I said I would benefit them. This is America. There is an evil, a great evil that is planned against America. We don't talk a lot about that in our services because we are praying for just the opposite. Yet I have been very faithful to you to let you know that the crisis was coming. I have not led you to believe that we're not going to go through a storm. I repeatedly told you that the storm is coming. But it will come as hard as it will, depending upon our intercession. Now, if you were to go to a doctor's office and you were to take your little boy or your little girl to the doctor because the child had been very ill, and the doctor said to you, look, your child has cancer and the child needs surgery. But he happened to be a Christian, so he would say to you, however, though it would be a very invasive surgery, and though we're going to uncover a great deal of cancer, it does not have to be as bad as it seems like it will be. If you're praying, parents, God will intervene for your cancer-ridden child if you will pray. How many of you would spend nights awake praying for your child? Of course you would. But God is saying if you will pray for your nation, that nation which in my eyes is filled with cancer, I will intervene. My ears are open. I am ready to hear your prayer. I'm ready to touch you and to touch your nation and even deliver your nation from the judgments that it has brought itself into and from the plans and the schemes of the evil one. My dear friends, please listen to me. Prayer can shake this nation right out of the plans of the Illuminati. I don't care what anybody says. I get the prophetic words too, that from so-called prophets that say God is fed up with this nation. He's judging this nation. This nation is going to fall and it's never going to be a great nation again. I get those words too from people. And I'm sorry, I get very offended. And the reason I get offended is, number one, you call yourself a prophet, but you're so immature, you don't really know the heart of God. Number two, you're sending out these horrific words to the church, scaring people half to death, and convincing the church they don't need to pray for America because God is through with America. So you are stifling the prayers of the saints. God has shown you a difficulty, maybe. I'm not even sure your vision is right, but let's say that it is. You're teaching the church to succumb to the works of the enemy instead of to overcome by believing God for his works. I get very frustrated and I get very upset, but it's because I feel so protective of the church. And I feel so protective of a nation that we have been interceding for 13 years. We are going to go through hard times. We are going to go through pressing times. But they are designed to bring us into the power of God. If we don't go through the hard times, we will not know the power. If we don't go through the hard times, we will not know the intimacy and the beauty of Christ as a nation. If we do not go through the hard times, we will never know our destiny, let alone meet it. So, the hard times must come. I've said it all along. Our purpose is to bring us through the hard times and into the destiny that God has created us for. People loved to pray until Obama was reelected. And people all over this nation quit praying. I think because they thought God wasn't interested in hearing our prayers. They thought, what's the use? We prayed and prayed and prayed, and he was reelected. Well, he was reelected through corruption, but he is still standing in the office that God must use to bring this nation through. And as long as he is there, we must pray for him. As long as he is there, as intercessors, we must pray for him. In this experience, I said to him, when he said to me, tell the people not to hate me. He said it two or three times. But please to pray for me. He doesn't want you to hate him. He looks like he doesn't care. But he really, in his heart of hearts, he does care. He doesn't want you to hate him. He's had to do many things in office that really were not his will. I knew that about Clinton. I knew that about Bush. And now I know it about Obama. Many things he wouldn't have done if he could have stopped it. Now, some people who are Christians say that's not true. He can not do anything he doesn't want to do. But when you've got a group of men that are telling you that they're going to kill your child if you don't do what they tell you to do, and believe me, if they're giving those kinds of threats to him, and it wouldn't surprise me if they are, they would do it. They're not threats or promises. And furthermore, we don't know what the puppet strings are and what they look like and how deeply they are into his soul. All I know is that Obama has been forced to do things he doesn't want to do. And somehow he needs you to understand that, and he needs you to pray for his freedom. Freedom to lead. Freedom to bring this country out of the plans of the elite. In a vision, the Lord showed America sinking, sinking, sinking. And it looked like we were going down into this pit of quicksand. When suddenly, in the middle of the country, a hand comes down from heaven, a man's hand, and picks America up from the center of the country where it looks like we're sinking down into this sinkhole, and picks America up and establishes America, stabilizes America. That is his plan, but we are going to do some sinking first. I want to read another scripture to you. Let's look at Isaiah 10:27. Are you guys still with me? This is a promise from the Lord. And it shall be in that day that the burden of the Assyrian shall depart from your shoulders and his yoke from your neck. The yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Now let's look at verses 32 and 34, that same passage. This very day the Assyrian will halt at Nob, or the city of the priest, and I want to talk to you about that. Shaking his fist at the mountain of the daughter of Zion, which is the church, and the hill of Jerusalem. But just when the Assyrian is in sight of his goal, behold, the Lord of hosts, will lop off the beautiful boughs with terrorizing force. The high in stature will be hewn down, and the lofty will be brought low. And he will cast down the thickest of the forest with an axe, and Lebanon with its majestic trees shall fall by the mighty one of the mighty. This is God's promise. The elite think that they have their plans and purposes for this nation all sewn up. And if the church quits praying, they will be right. But if we will continue in our intercession, at the very moment that they are positive, they have won their desire on this nation, God is going to come with a terrorizing force, and he's going to intervene. All you need to do is pray. If you don't know how to pray anything else, pray fervently with tears, travail, groaning, weeping. Pray fervently, passionately, that he will intervene. If you say, I don't know how to pray, I don't know what words to use, just do what I just said. You don't have to worry about anything else. Just pray that he will intervene and deliver us from the New World Order. America is a nation that being delivered from our worst enemy will be put in a position where we can help other nations who want to fight the Antichrist system. We're the only nation that is really strong enough to be able to do that. God needs us, and that's why he's created us, is to help fight that system. But the church, can I be very honest with you? The church has been asleep. We love to entertain ourselves when we should be in prayer. We should be on our knees for our nation. Okay. So reorganizing Europe. I don't know what it's going to look like when it's over, but it isn't going to look like it does right now. In the research that I've done, this isn't just a prophetic instruction, but there are voices out there speaking into the Eurozone, and they're saying the same thing. With the way things are breaking up in Europe, the only way for this thing to travel at this point in time is for a complete breakdown. So they must reorganize it. As I said, I don't know what it's going to look like. I wasn't shown. I wasn't told. But we need to start praying. This is how I want you to pray. God, carry the nations through your purpose and plan regarding Europe. Will you do that? Carry the nations through your purpose and plan regarding Europe. And let nothing happen in this hour that is not your perfect will. That way, if you don't know what's supposed to happen, you are still praying in such a way that God can use your prayers to move mountains in Europe. Amen. Okay, I'm going on to the next dream. Do you want to hear the rest? Okay. I had a dream. Was it a dream or a vision? I think this one was a vision. And in it, I saw the elite. I saw Bill Gates. I saw Rockefeller. I saw Oprah Winfrey. I saw Warren Buffett. I saw Ted Turner. I saw George Soros. I saw Michael Bloomberg. And many more faces and names that I did not know. These were just the ones that I knew. And they had met together, they were meeting together, and the topic was, how do we kill the useless eaters? The millions in America that are not part of the elite. How do we get rid of them? I saw one person stand up and give his spiel, then another person would stand up and give his spiel, then another person would stand up and give his spiel, and I was in awe. I couldn't believe human beings could be sitting around discussing how to destroy most of the people who live in a nation. I was just in awe. I was in horror and in awe. I left that meeting when it was over. They acted like they didn't even see me, that they didn't even know that I was there. But I left that meeting in horror, and I went over to our team. And I said, I've got to tell you what's going on in that other room. And I began to share with them what I heard and how they were discussing the best way to rid themselves of most of America's population. When I came to myself, I thought, I wonder if there really was such a meeting. I wonder if I could find something like that on the internet. And you know what? There was. And it's on the internet. So we need to start praying. Do you still have your pen? We need to start praying that God is going to discomfit their plans. I'm sure you're well aware of all of the things that are being revealed in recent weeks, right? With the IRS and many other things that are like surfacing, these corruptions. Well, these are things that we have prayed about for years in the gathering, that God would bring the corruption to light. And He is doing it. Anyone that says God doesn't answer prayer on the biggies, you need to join us and enjoy seeing it happen before your very eyes. So if He would do what we are talking about, what the news, the media is talking about, in revealing the corruption, He will do what we need Him to do about these international corporations. was like the elite of the corporations. Well, you know, Warren Buffett, Ted Turner, George Soros, the up there elite of the heads of corporations. Pray that God will disconfit their plans, that he will bring their plans, that he would reveal the plans to the American people, that he will disconfit their plans, that he will confuse their purposes, and that their hopes and dreams against America will be stopped. God will answer your prayers. I can't tell you, he loves America. He cares about the people of this nation. I don't know that there's ever been a country that has sent out more missionaries than America. Maybe Germany did at one point, I don't know. But I don't think so. I think we have done more as a nation to get the gospel out to the nations of the world than any other nation. And you all know that I'm Jewish. It matters to God that we have made a home for the Jewish people in this nation and that we've allowed them to prosper. Because we have taken care of Jewish people in this nation, God makes it his personal debt to repay the kindness of the seed of Abraham. So because this nation has allowed the church to prosper, and because we have allowed the Jewish people to prosper, God feels a certain debt to America. He loves this country. He feels indebted to this country. He really does not want to see America destroyed, only disciplined and brought back into a place he can bless us. So pray these prayers in faith. The next thing I saw is what is going to happen to the church. We're heading there already. I was in a room, a huge room, and everyone that was there was a Christian. But I saw an imam. Do you know what that is? I saw an imam teaching the Christians. And they were teaching the Christians about Islam. When he finished teaching the Christians about Islam, he took an altar call and asked how many of these people wanted to embrace Islam. Everyone in the room raised their hands. And Chrislam was born. I saw like a veil of deception come upon the people. The minute they raised their hands, it came upon the people and fell down upon the people, and their vision was changed. I said to the Lord, what is going on here? These people are Christians. How can they embrace Islam? And the Lord said, they are people of compromise. The day is coming when doctrines are going to be preached in this nation. And the Christians that have lived lives of compromise are going to embrace them. And they're going to be deceived and destroyed. I said to the Lord, is this like mixture? Is it the only one? He said, no. Another, and I know that this has already begun, this Chrislam. I'm well aware of that. But I guess I've always just been a voice thing that when I hear it, I just shake my head and walk away and don't think about it because it's so absurd to me. But now God is saying, this is an issue that's on my heart and it needs to become an issue on your heart. So if it has to be on my heart, it has to be on your heart. You understand? So I said, what are the others? And he said, brought to my attention another movement that has started in the body of Christ, where people, and it's just in its infancy, just like this Chrislam situation, where people are getting involved in knowing and understanding like the roots of Judaism, how the church, you know, is of Israel. Paul talks about it himself in the Bible. But they start getting involved in understanding the roots of the Judeo-Christian faith, but instead of just understanding the roots and, you know, heading up to the glory at the top of the tree, they get sunk in the roots, and they lose the beauty of their faith. But what the Lord showed me is that this is going to go to a whole new dimension where people, it's just the book of Hebrews all over. The people will hear this teaching, and instead of embracing grace and faith, they will go back to the law, and they will lose their salvation over it. Also, there will be those who will get involved in a hyper-grace message. When I say hyper-grace, they will begin to look at grace as being, you know, not the cure, but the Band-Aid. And so they will live lives of deep sin, thinking, well, the grace of God will cover me. The grace of God will cover me. And they will cease to repent. They will cease to apologize. They will cease to know sorrow over their sin. And they will cease to love the cross. They will cease to love the blood, thinking grace has covered all of their sins, though they continue living for the world. And they continue going deeper and deeper into the world. Even though they lose their faith, even though they lose their salvation, they will cling to what they perceive to be the grace of God covering their sins, bringing forth a very impure sector of the church. Now again, I know that's in its infancy in the church. These are not new things. They are things that have already begun. What he was wanting me to understand is how bad it's going to get. It will get to the point that the church will start embracing the New Age doctrines, looking to occultism and spiritism instead of the blood and faith. These doctrines are coming to the church. Further, do you want three more things that are going to happen? Further, he warned me about this many, many years ago. Further, the pride of life, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. There's going to be a wave of satanic power that is going to flow over the earth, that is going to cause the heart to become so lifted up in pride, you cannot teach or reach that one anymore. This will be saved and unsaved. Also, the lust of the flesh. The flesh is going to have, like, if there are issues in your life where you have a problem not being able to keep your flesh under control, and that goes on in your life now and you don't deal with it, the day is coming and it's close at hand that when this satanic power flows over the body of Christ, as well as over the world, you're really not going to be able to control it. It will control you to the loss of your soul. Lust of the eyes is the love of power. That's what it is. And so that is number three. One of the reasons why the elite is in the trouble that they're in is because they have a lust for power. Not necessarily for money. They've got all the money they need. They don't need more money. What is it they're really after? Why do you make plans to kill millions of people in a country? Is it because of the love of money? They're beyond that now. It's the love of power. The Lord let me experience once the love of power that Hitler walked in. May I share it with you? It was terrible. He rose up in this love of power to such an extent that he hated God with such a hatred, such a vile hatred, that he wanted to kill anything or destroy anything that even remotely resembled God. Which means he wanted to kill the Jews and he wanted to kill the Christians. If he saw a Bible, he'd want to rip it up because of his hatred for God. And it was all rooted in the lust for power, of which he felt God had more power than he needed, and he had the power Hitler wanted. It was evil. It was as evil a thing as you could imagine. It was the very heart of Satan itself. These things that I've just shared with you are things that are going to be sweeping across the spirit of it, across the body of Christ. And that's why the Bible says that the Lord will not return until the great falling away. It will be because the church did not let God deal with these issues in the heart until the enemy had a stronghold. This is not a day to walk in compromise. It is a day to seek the Lord while he may be found. Seek his ways. Seek his holiness. Learn to love. Learn to walk in trials in a spirit of humility. Because many trials are coming, besetting trials that will create in your heart besetting sins if you don't let go of the things you need to let go of today. Pray diligently that God will correct you and that he will direct you, that he will reveal those things in your heart you've never wanted to see, and that he will give you the grace to see it and the heart to change. Jesus talked about the great trials that would happen in the last days, and he said many will fall away. The love of the great body will grow cold. We are the only ones that can determine if our heart's going to be hot or cold. Trials can't determine it. Other people cannot determine it. Not even Satan can determine whether my heart is going to be hot or cold. I'm the only one that rules that part of my being. God can't even determine it, because he has determined that you would have the right to rule your own will. So today is a day to begin to make Christ number one. Follow his ways. Get into the Word. Find out who Jesus is and what he's like. And then while you're learning, ask him, to make you into his image. Difficult times are coming, but I want to tell you, when Jesus asked me to start the gatherings, he told me that if we will do this, and if we will be faithful to the vision, faithful to the call, that he will release revival upon America before he'll let war touch America. Why is he going to send revival? Because in revival, the fear is removed from the mind. It's removed from the heart. It's removed from the soul. And in its place is faith. Faith-filled mind, faith-filled heart, faith-filled soul. And when faith rules your being, you see everything that happens through different eyes. God wants to give you eyes that see and understand how to walk through the treacherous paths unharmed. That's his desire for you. Revival, and in the revival outpouring, he is able to establish that in you so that there is no fear. Wouldn't it be wonderful to wake up in the morning and not feel fear about the days ahead? Wouldn't it be wonderful to think when you wake up in the morning, I want to glorify my Lord. What can I do today to glorify him? I don't have much to give anymore, but I can sure give myself and I can give Jesus. And you're just as happy as a person can be because there's no fear. When you're in a spiritual environment of faith, you can do things you cannot do without faith. You will see miracles happen. Not just the miracles of healing, but the miracles of needs being met. You will see many miracles because you've become a person of faith. And because you've become a person of faith, you walk very close to Jesus. How many of you would like to do that? That's good. That's a good show of hands. Okay, you can get an A for this course. The Lord wants you to want him. He wants you to walk. He wants to put in you the heart to know Christ. He wants you to have such a heart that you have no care for things outside of the kingdom of God. That's where your heart is. You're fixed on God. But it takes faith, and he wants to build that in you. How does faith come? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And by the anointing that's going to break the yoke. You've got plenty to pray about. Now you need the faith to believe God for the answers to those prayers. We will go through hard times, but we are not set in the hard times. We will move forward through hard times into destiny. But it's important that you prepare for the hard times so that your heart is not overawed and torn up within, but rather you are set in the faith that will keep you strong. Amen. Do you believe that America is going to make her destiny?
Yes.
She is.
Amen.
If you'll pray. If you'll pray. Please stand. Father, I'm feeling so much love for these people. It's your love, Lord. It's an awesome privilege to hear the word of the Lord. Please look at me. Don't ever go home from a service like this feeling distracted, feeling overwhelmed, feeling fearful. It is an awesome privilege to hear the word of the Lord, even when it's difficult. I can't tell you. love His word. Even when it's frightening to hear it, love it. I can't tell you what a privilege it is for the word of the Lord to come from His throne and into your precious heart. Love His word, for in it is life. Even though it's difficult, there is life in that seed for you, and it will bring forth life. If we are going to share His glory, we must share His suffering. And in that truth, there is life for your hearts. There is life for your soul. There is strength to stand. There is grace to run. Don't ever leave a service where God has had to say a hard thing and think, I wish I wouldn't have come. No. You have experienced the honor and the glory of hearing the word of the Lord and the life that His word brings. Don't crush it underfoot. But every morsel, every crumb, every morsel, pick it up. Put it in your heart. Refuse to let it go. Don't let the enemy take it. Don't let your own misunderstandings take it. Don't let your own fears drop it by the wayside. Hold it fast, because in it is life. I know you don't understand, but you will if you will do what I've said. I saw a vision, and I saw the Father sitting on the throne. And I saw the word come forth from His mouth. Come into this room and enter into your hearts. And I saw that His word was holy. And I saw His own love for His word. Then I saw His love for you. And when the two became one, it brought Him great pleasure. And that's why I'm talking to you like this. It's because He loves you that He wants you to hear His plans and the plans of the enemy. It's because He loves you, He wants to birth in you the heart of the overcomer. How? Through His word. The prophet stood before the Father, and the Father said, eat of the scroll. But the scroll was bitter. He ate it, but as it went down, it became bitter. Sometimes God's word does that. It tastes sweet to the tongue, but then bitter to the soul. But you notice that the prophet did not regurgitate the word because it was bitter. He retained it and he held it, and it became life. You must do the same. And when you have, you will understand the glory that I just saw. Father, let them feel the life of your living word. Let them feel the power of your spirit. Let them feel the fire of your love kindled in their hearts. Let them feel the strength of your grace, the determination that grace creates in the heart and soul. Let them understand that you have called them to become sons of the living God. Not overwrought, not overwhelmed, not overcome, but to overcome all things. and that they will humble themselves and prepare, that they may hide in the secret place of your glory in the days ahead. Lord, you know what the last 2 months has been for me. You know that you called me up out of a sick bed to bring this message to these people, because it was so important to you that your church hear the words, that they might be healed, and that life might come to their soul through your words. And I thank you for it, Lord. I thank you for the privilege. I thank you for these people, Lord. I love them. But more importantly, you love them. Come into Psalm 91. Let it be your hiding place, says the Lord. Be for me a priest and pray and intercede for this nation that I love. I will bless you for it. Hide in me, and I will be the strength you need. Follow me, and I will bring you into sonship, and you will know my glory. Thank you, Lord. In your precious name. Amen.